Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's a great pleasure to be back in Indianapolis, and especially on this occasion where I have a chance to participate in this rather incredible speaker series that Matthew has put together over the last 28 years. It's always a joy to come to a city where you have these kinds of series of speaking engagements, and people can come from all over the community representing all parts of the community and get together and hear from folks outside. You turn off the television, no offense to the television cameras here, but you come and you listen to people talk and you get a chance to ask questions. My last most memorable visit in Indianapolis, which I will never forget, and I've been going to lunch on it ever since, is when I drove the pace car in 2005 at the Indianapolis 500. And as I have said to so many friends, I led the Indianapolis 500 for three laps. Okay. Now we'll take, delighted to take some questions.
General, as yes, a senior sir. Person here, let me begin taking back to Indianapolis.
What makes you the senior person? What makes you the senior person here?
Well, he's 39 years in the market.
That'll do.
The Andy Casey Foundation last week in their race report said that Indiana has the eighth worst record of African-American children of the 12 indices that they looked at. And like many American cities, we've got a serious violence problem here involving African-American youth. What can America's Promise do? What can Indianapolis do with America's Promise to help reduce violence and get our young people on the straight and narrow?
Yeah, America's Promise, as he refers to it, is the America's Promise Alliance, which I founded in 1997 at the request of President Clinton and the other living presidents. And we've been working since then, and my wife now is the chairperson of America's Promise Alliance, to reach out to communities and form coalitions. And the coalitions will be for the purpose of giving kids the resources they need to be successful, and especially our inner city kids, our rural kids, our kids on Indian reservation. What do kids need to be successful in life or to get a good start in life? They need responsible, caring, loving adults in their lives. Hopefully, parents and family. If that isn't enough, then we got to bring in mentors. We got to bring in people who will come in and get in the lives of these children and show them the correct way to behave and the proper route to take to a successful future in life. Secondly, children need safe places in which to learn and to grow. Third, they need a healthy start in life. Fourth, a marketable skill through a quality education. And fifth, an opportunity to give back. These are the things that we always hope a family could provide to a child. It's what I got. That's why I was able to come up out of the South Bronx, born in Harlem, South Bronx, and was able to come out of that. But unfortunately, it's not just a matter for the government to get to the heart of the problem you just discussed. We have to do that as a community. I'm deeply disturbed by the number of children who are not born into families that consist of more than a single parent. I visited a minority school in Washington 2 weeks ago, and 82% of the kids are living in single-parent households, and that was a female. Nothing wrong with that, but it makes for not a solid foundation for that child. And 25% of that 82% were grandmothers, and so the fathers aren't there. And I think somehow, if we cannot recreate a sense of family, a sense of caring, a sense of relatives coming together to keep these children in play, it's going to be a tough problem to solve. The one thing we as a community, either in Indiana, Indianapolis, or anywhere else in the country, and not just the African-American members of that community, but if we as a total community cannot get into the lives of these children at the earliest possible age and start to point them in the right direction, then somebody will be around to point them in the wrong direction. So we can't look to the government. We can't think something magical is going to happen. We can't believe that an election will take place and suddenly programs will be found to solve this problem. This problem has to be solved within the community by mobilizing the community, which is what America's Promise does. We bring together businesses. We bring together faith-based organizations. We bring together the school leadership. We find the money in the community, and there usually is money in the community, and bring it all together to make sure that our kids are getting what they need. When we started this about 10 years ago, or 10 years ago after we'd been in business for a number of years, we started a program called Grad Nation, Make This a Nation of Graduates. At that time, we had about 2,100 high school dropout factories. I mean, these schools were just designed to have kids fail. In the last 10 years, that's come down to about 1,100, but it's got to get down to zero. And so the answer to your question is you've got to mobilize the community to do it. You've got to get all the resources in the community. That's what America's Promise does. Mobilize them all together to get in the lives of these children. It's the easiest thing in the world not to see the problem, to look the other way, to say, I'm busy with my own children, I'm busy at my own church. But we got to get in the lives of these children, and it is a problem that has to be solved within the family, within the community, with whatever resources exist in the community, and whatever help you can get from the city, the state, and the federal government. Yes, ma'am.
Please state your name.
I'm Faith McKinney. I was wondering, with America's Promise, how do you teach kids to build connections and build relationships? I know that was key in your life. How do you teach the children building relationships?
You show them good relationships first and foremost in the family. A child is learning on day one. A child learns within the first few months of life what that mother means to that child. That's the language the child will learn, what he hears from the mother. The child looks around and hopefully he sees love in the home. He looks around and sees other siblings and cousins and relatives. And that's his tribe, that's his family, that's his pride. That's where he belongs. So in the very first few months of life, you've got to give a child a sense of belonging to a group. I watch National Geographic all the time, and I watch how mammals, lions and tigers, raise their cubs. They keep them close to them, and they don't let them do a single thing beyond their capability of doing it, or else, pop, bring them back in. So we got to teach our children early on how to behave. There was a word that was used when I was growing up, mind. Mind your manners, you know? Mind your adults, mind your teachers. Say what? You remember those?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And that's what I grew up with. And if we don't put that into the lives of our children at an early age, they'll go in the other direction. And so if the family isn't there to do it, then what do? You have to get coaches, you have to get religious figures, you have to count on the schools, but if the school can't just be a place to house the children. If they don't come into that school with a good start, they're already on their way to failure. We have statistics that will show that if a child has not been read to age 1, 2, 3, and 4, if the child does not know colors or numbers, or can't tie his shoes, can't mind his manners, when that child goes to school in kindergarten, the first grade, he's smiling, she's smiling, just like every other kid. Until about halfway through first grade, the child realizes, I'm not up with these other kids. And if you haven't corrected that by third grade, that child is on the way to failure. We can predict the dropout rate. We can predict the incarceration rate. And so we as African Americans, we as citizens of this great country and this great city and state, we can't keep looking elsewhere for the solution. The solution is right here. How do we teach our young boys and girls to act respectfully to one another, to understand the significance of forming a partnership for life? That's where we got to get started. But when we're having 72% of our children born out of marriage, and when we have so many single parent households that are mostly women, we've got a problem. That is a structure that Daniel Patrick Moynihan predicted 50 years ago would be the downfall of the African-American community. Well, we can't let it be the downfall of the African-American community. We've come too far, but we've got to keep working at it, and none of us can turn away. I've adopted a school in Washington, D.C. I go to a nice Episcopal church in McLean, Virginia, a fairly nice neighborhood, but I told my priest, we're not doing enough out here. We've got to get into the city. So we adopted an all-Hispanic black school, and I've been working with that school now for 15 years. And we mentor those kids. They come to our church in the summer to get extra education and mentoring on Saturday morning. And these kids are put on a path to success. They have to be taught to believe in themselves. They have to be taught that there is a future waiting for you, but you got to get it. You know, you got to go get it. And so somehow too many of our kids have lost this. And they never had it in the first place. I was on the board of Howard University and I'm also now an advisor to the president of Howard. And it disturbs me that the entering class of freshmen, African American youngsters, roughly is 68% female, 32% male. That's the same statistic you'll find in any college, historically black or not. And those ladies will graduate at a higher rate than the boys will. And they're gonna be successes, but they're not gonna find suitable partners. And we got a long-range problem with this. And we can't just keep looking at someone else or citing some study. We got to get to work on it, every single one of us in some way, get in the life of a child who's in need.